never exactly sure where to start, but maybe that is the starting point, not knowing where to start. That is a starting point. Admitting to yourself you don't know where to start. Okay, that's out of the way. What now? Well, where would be a good place to start? What are you doing right now? What's going on right now? Sometimes I think we get too caught up in trying to have a set starting place. And I think this is perhaps what the entertainment and the film industry has primed us for, or how they have primed us to think we need a beginning, middle, and end. Life has a beginning, we're born, kind of has a middle, it's the whole journey, and then it has an end, we die. But I think we can also think of it as the beginning is just where we begin, especially in a movie or a TV show. My favorite movies are the ones where there's no intro, there's no this is the beginning, it just starts. I'm in it now. I think we can leave it up to the viewer, we can leave it up to our audience, we can leave it up to the people around us to just gather context as we go. And particularly when you're starting a business, or perhaps you want to get into content creation, or you want to make music, you want to make art, you want to start a relationship, whatever it is, we don't need to tell everybody, hey, everybody, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, this is what my business is about, this is what I'll be creating content about. When you're on a first date, you don't just blurt out everything that you've been through. You don't blurt out your whole life story, because that's not interesting. And it's not exactly polite to the person who you're sitting across with to just start talking about yourself and not stop until every last drop of your life has been squeezed out into a glass. You hand it to them, and then you expect them to drink it. This is my life. These are the lemons I was given. This is my lemonade. Please drink it. That's not fun. And no one wants to hear that. From a relationship, friendship, whatever type of human-to-human connection you're having, that's not how you go about it. And when you're starting a business or you're about to embark on creative endeavor, that's not how you do it either. You just start. You're on your first date. You make a joke. They don't get it. That's fine. You say something. You comment on what's going on right now. And then that leads to a conversation. You don't start, you know, I was born here. This is my legal name. This is my job. This is my occupation. All of those things unfold as you go. And the same thing with your business. I think a lot of us get caught up in marketing, or we get caught up in this onslaught of YouTube videos that are telling us how to run our business, how to market our business, how to, you know, provide our service, how to sell our product, how to do 101 things. And it's overwhelming when really all you need to do is start. You know, my wife and I were on a walk today. And we typically like to walk, but our kid is in a phase where it's kind of hit or miss for our walks, whether he's with it or not. So our parents decided to take him for the weekend, and that's been nice because we've been able to just walk, get up and go when we want to go. And today we just talked about life, talked about the business, talked about what we want to accomplish personally. And we came up with, you know, maybe our fifth or sixth, you know, it could be our 10th, 20th, you know, I've lost track actually. But we came up with our umpteenth version of our business and what we want to do and how we want to go into the future. And I won't get into the details of what that business venture is or whatever, because it's not that important for the sake of this right now. Kind of like, you know, I'm not going to tell you all this stuff that you don't need to hear at this moment, because if we keep talking to each other, then eventually it's just going to come out. You know, I'm still thinking about that date thing. You know, you don't need to tell everything at once. It's going to come out. I think it can be awkward, and sometimes we can want to talk, but sometimes the best thing to talk about is just something that's relevant to what's happening right now. It doesn't need to be anything huge. But my wife and I are on this walk, and we're coming up with this iteration of our business, and we've done this time and time and time and time again. Same walk, same path, same trail, different ideas. And it popped in my head that, you know, the last time that I was this excited about something was probably a couple of months ago. And I was like, wow, this idea is a lot better. This fits our life so much better, and I think I'd be much happier with this. But it took every single time up until now to come up with this idea, and I have no doubt that there will be another idea that works even better, that is even a bit more seamless, that has a little bit less friction. Because each time you come up with these ideas, you get more data in. So last time we came up with a great idea that I was all gung-ho about was a couple months ago. And now I have data from the last 2 months to kind of take back to the table and say, well, this is what didn't work about the last idea. This is what did work. Here are some avenues we could try. Here are some things we haven't tried yet. Here are some things that we did try and just failed. And we take all that information, and it consolidated itself on this walk into a new idea, a new venture, a different direction. And not a completely different direction, just a slightly different direction that's going to be a little bit better for us. And this is how failure gets transformed into success, because you're not looking at it as failure. Every little thing that we tried that got us to this idea wasn't a failure, because it got us here. And oftentimes we want the idea to work so badly, or we want whatever it is that's on the other side of the execution of this idea to work badly. We want the money that might come from it. We want the status or the respect or the accomplishment or the achievement that might come from this, that we put too much weight in the idea itself, and we tie ourselves too much. We lose objectivity, and more importantly, we lose presence. We lose the sense that this is a living and breathing idea, that this is not just a picture. This is a video. This isn't just a video. This is behind the scenes. This isn't just behind the scenes. This is your life. You know, you can see a picture of a movie. You can see the actual movie. You can be the one in the movie. You can be the one shooting the movie. You can be all the cast members around the movie. But eventually you go home and you're living your life. It's not just one moment in time. It's not just one project. It's not just one period. This is your life, and at each and every step of that journey of your life, you want to be present for it and realize that it's a living and breathing thing. It's a living and breathing human that you are, and that you are living life as. So don't get too tied up. Don't get married to your ideas. Now, there are things that we marry. I married my wife, she married me, and that's a commitment. We're parents, we're committed to our kid. There will be things like that that you commit yourself to. You commit yourself to starting a business or running a business, but don't commit yourself to what that business will be, because you're going to find it over time. It's going to develop, it's going to grow. You know, if my wife and I got married and we just stayed where we were, the mindsets that we had, the habits that we had, the ideas that we had, even the love that we had for each other, if that was stagnant, then we wouldn't be together right now, because there wouldn't be any reason to be together. The reason you start something, the reason you commit to something, the reason you plant seeds in your garden is so that it grows and it develops, and it'll die, and then it grows again. And it's the same with your ideas. They die and they'll grow again if you allow them to. But if you hold on to it and you just squeeze the life out of them and you hug them and you don't let them go, then they suffocate. It's just like relationships. If you don't let anyone grow, if you don't let them go and do their own thing, you know, within reason, my wife and I have boundaries and respect for each other, and that means we're not going to do certain things to each other or certain things that would degrade the relationship. But within that set of parameters, there's a lot of wiggle room. There's a lot of room to adjust things. When I don't like the way she does something, or she doesn't like the way I do something, that's not set in stone. She's not going to do that forever. I might not do that forever. Or we might continue to do it. But we can have conversations about it. We can change. We can ask ourselves, is this what's best for the relationship? Or is this what's best for me? And even when you answer that question at that moment in time, that might not be the answer that's locked in forever. Everything changes. We adapt. We grow. We die. We grow back. So we'll go on with this business idea. My wife reminded me that this is something I do quite a bit. I come up with an idea, and then I come up with the next idea, and then I come up with the idea that will come after that. I tend to think next step and next step and next step and next step as far as I can possibly go. And I explained to her, I think that is useful, because you plot things out and you navigate the idea that you come up with and see where the weak points are, where it might lead you to. You hypothesize, you guess, you ask questions, you see where the friction may lie, you see where the success may lie, you see where it might get you in 10 years. But all of that is just a thought, and that is what she reminded me of. It's just a thought. It's just a hypothetical. I think it's a useful exercise to go through. Think things through as much as you possibly can, but eventually, you have to come back to the moment and start implementing. And implementing is really where you get the data back. It's where you get the information. It's where you get the experience. It's where you get the wisdom. So if you're always in your head and you never put anything down on paper, nothing ever happens. But it's still something you have to do. You have to do both. You have to think things through, and then you have to try things. And sometimes you just have to try things and then later reflect on them or think things through while you're doing it. And to me, that's the best case scenario. I'm learning while I'm doing. I learn best while I'm doing things, because there's nothing like a hard lesson. There's nothing like a failure to teach you or to show you where there might be possible success. Knowing where sure failure is helps you to avoid that as you move forward. And the more and more and more you fail, the more and more and more you know where success could be. You at least know where not to go again, which is just as valuable. And I think over time, these failed ideas, these failed relationships, these failed versions of yourself enable you to become a better version of yourself. And I don't think we can become that version without failing a couple of times, a lot of times, and really a life of failure. Because after failure comes success. It's a cycle. And I really want to emphasize the presence. It's probably the most important part. Yesterday we were talking about some quote. I don't know who it's by, but the gist of it was that if it's not coming out of you, if it's not like a surefire thing, if it doesn't really excite you, if it's not natural, if you have to work too hard at it, don't do it. And my wife and I went to this restaurant that we've been wanting to go to for a while that has bottomless fries. So just free fries because, well, we didn't exactly want to go with the kid, and we've kind of been trying to go for a while and it just never lined up. And yesterday with the parents taking the kid, you know, we had the time. So we went out, and typically we would have just ordered food or just gone and picked it up and came home. But we decided to sit down and, you know, we ordered a pizza. I think I ordered tea and she ordered lemonade. We sat down. And then we ordered burgers and just ate the free fries. And then we saved the burgers for later. We ate those today. But the conversation that we were having was about, you know, is it true? Or do you believe, I asked her, do you believe that whatever you do should be natural, that you really shouldn't have to work at it, that it should just come to you with almost like a grandiosity or grandiosity. I'm not sure how to say it, but, you know, grandness or over-the-topness or shining light, just overwhelming power, overwhelming clarity. And if you don't have that, or that does not accompany any feeling or thought that you have, you shouldn't act on it. And she said, no, because she still believes that there are things that you just have to do. And from her perspective as a mother, I was thinking that she was probably thinking, okay, well, we have a kid, and when he wakes up and we don't feed him, he starves, or he cries all day until we feed him. You know, there is no, I know I do not have this overwhelming desire to wake up, you know, early in the morning when he wakes up and to change him, get him ready, play with him, feed him, all that stuff. I do not have an overwhelming, you know, just bursting forth desire to do that. Does that mean I don't do it? No, because one, he needs me to do that. He needs her to do that. We need to be there for him. It's a commitment that we made. Are there times where I do feel like that? Sure, because I love him. I love seeing him smile. I love seeing him laugh. I love seeing him learn new things. It's very rewarding to see him grow. But does that mean every process or point in that growth is enjoyable? No, because for every smile, every laugh, everything he learns, every good moment, there's a bad moment where he's throwing a fit or he doesn't want to be in his car seat on a 30-minute drive and it's just yelling all the way. Whew. Waking up 1, 2, 3 times at night because he has new teeth coming in. Not liking the food he liked yesterday and having to make him something else. And now, I tend not to make him anything else. I say, you know, I gave you a couple options here. If you don't like this, we can save it for later and you can go play, you can go do something else. And when you do get hungry, I'm sure you're going to want to come eat this. Now that might be tough love. My wife tends to, you know, be like, okay, well, he doesn't want it. You know, maybe we'll try something else. But even after, you know, she makes him something else and she might make him something else. And after that, it's like, okay, well, you're eating one of these. You might not eat it right now, but you're eating one of these. There's good and bad to every moment, everything, every aspect of your life. There's good and bad. And I think we have to accept that. And when the bad is here, or there's something that we don't exactly want to do, just realize what's on the other side of it, what the reward is, and even sometimes not even the reward, but just what needs to be done. And making that the priority instead of this feeling of, well, if it doesn't come natural or if I don't exactly want to do it, then I don't do it, because then I don't think anything gets done. Now, my perspective was that I think there are things that you can do where it might not just be bursting out of you to do it, but there is something on the other end that is still driving you to do it. And I think that's kind of the case for the kid. You know, we wanted to have a kid, we wanted to have a family, we wanted to be married to each other for life and share a life together. And even though there are valleys and we get through them, and there's peaks and, you know, we enjoy those, not every moment is glorious. Not every moment is great. Not every moment is spent content. I think that's part of the process. Is there a place where every moment is content? Every moment is happy? Every moment is joyous? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't think that's for me to say right now, at least. If I get there, I'll let you know, but so far, I'm inclined to think that there's a lot more work ahead. And even when you think you're done with all your work, there's still some more you could do. But the marriage, the business, you know, the kid, these are all things that I wanted to do. And in a way, those were the things that I really wanted to do that I thought were great. And they're pretty normal things, but to me, they mean a lot. There's a lot of purpose and meaning for me there. And that is what drives me through the valleys. That's what helps me keep my head up when I'm not liking how things are going. I don't think everything has to be that like that, though. I definitely think you should find your purpose and your meaning and what's going to keep you going day in and day out. But I also told my wife, you know, there are little times throughout the day where I don't exactly know what to do. And I think those are the times where you should do what is most meaningful to you, that does spark joy. Because those are the times that you can. And right now, I mean when the work's done. So when my workout's done, when work is done for the most part, when family has been taken care of, those are the times that I ask myself, what do I really want to do? And I think those are probably the best times to get the most clarity on what you want to do, because those are the times where you don't really feel like doing anything. You know, instead of just going to flop down on the couch. Because you can tell when you're on the couch, when you're watching TV, when you're on social media, when you're bullshitting, you can tell. There is something inside of us that says, this isn't exactly what I should be doing. And not only the thing that I should be doing, this isn't exactly what I want to be doing either. There are definitely times where I do want to sit on the couch and watch a movie. When there is a specific movie that I want to watch, a specific show that I want to watch. There are times when there is something that I'm looking for on YouTube or something that I'm hoping to find on TikTok or, to be honest, not typically Instagram. But on Instagram, there are things that I want to share. You know, content that I want to share, thoughts that I want to get out there, feedback that I'm looking for, connection that I'm looking for with you. Because it's not just a one-person business. It's not just me creating content. I think first, it does kind of have to come from me. And if any of you want to be content creators, I think the core of your content does have to come from you and what you want to do. But when you want to make it a business, it also has to be something that will be valuable to someone else, which means whether it's on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or a podcast or even a brick and mortar store or on Zoom on a phone call through text, there always has to be a dialogue between you and who you're trying to serve. You can serve yourself through serving someone else. And that's why I think the core of what you do does has to come from you. It can't be based on money, the money that you'll receive. It can't be based on achievement or respect or fame or good graces. It can't be because you want someone to notice you. It can't be because you want a social status or anything like that. It really just has to come from you. What would you do if what you were doing wasn't going to get you what you wanted? Would you still be doing it? And eventually that becomes, is this what I want to do? Yes or no? Having a business isn't for everyone. Creating content isn't for everyone. Because not everyone is everyone. Nothing is for everyone. You are a unique person and you have to determine what's right for you. Because if you don't, then, well, you're not really living your life. You're trying to live someone else's life, or you're trying to live for someone else. And the equation has to be balanced. 50% you, 50% someone else. 50% the audience, 50% your customer, 50%, you know, the person on the other side of the table on that first date. It's always a dialogue, and you can take that a step further. You can take that a step further and say that it's always a dialogue between you and you as well. Always making sure, am I on the right page? Am I on the same page as myself? You know, am I doing what I need to be doing? Is this what I want to do? And that's when you ask yourself, is this what I want to do? What do I really want to be doing right now? When you realize, you know, I've been spending 15 minutes on social media, or I've spent an hour on social media, or I've just spent too much time doing something that is not benefiting me in any way, or benefiting anyone else in any way. Well, if you're watching someone else's movie, if you're listening to someone else's content or watching it, well, someone's making money somewhere. It's probably not you. You know, that's why it can't be all someone else. And that's a perspective that I haven't really thought of before. That when I'm on social media for 30 minutes, it's not just wasting my time. It's wasting my time at the benefit of someone else, a company, a corporation, you know, Meta, YouTube, Google, whatever it is. As long as I'm on that platform and I'm seeing ads, I'm listening to some ad, I'm being sold something, my time is being used for the benefit of someone else. And I have no issue when it's 50-50, because some things are great. I love seeing an ad that actually applies to me. I love seeing something that actually works for me. I love when a content creator offers me a piece of information or a service or somewhere to go that is actually useful. But when you don't have that conscious, when you're not in a conscious state of mind and you're just searching, and you're searching for the dopamine, you're searching for, you know, that funny thing, or you're searching for that half-naked woman, or you're searching for the naked woman if you're, you know, you're into more explicit content, it's not benefiting you. It's benefiting someone else. And what's worse is that it's designed for that. It's designed to suck you in. It's designed to say, you know, I'll go to YouTube and search for something because there's something that I'm interested in. But it's designed to keep you there after that. It's why they say, well, watch this next. Or, you know, they'll recommend you something else. And I think the more we do that, the more we're just watching a television series just because we don't know what else to do, or we're too lazy to find something else to do. We don't want to get up off the couch. That television series, Netflix, Hulu, whatever it is, they're making money from you watching that. And you have to ask yourself, I think we need to hold businesses accountable for the time that, for our time that they waste, by not letting them waste our time. If we're not on social media mindlessly, if the tricks that they're playing on us to keep us on the platform aren't working on us anymore, then they actually have to serve us. But if we allow them to keep wasting our time and showing us stuff that we don't really like, or stuff that maybe we subconsciously are drawn to, but if we were a bit more conscious, wouldn't be drawn to it, they'd have to come up with a different strategy. And it's very clear in the creator economy as a content creator that if I'm not making something that is serving my audience, I'm not getting paid. I don't have the luxury of a legacy corporation that I can just slap my name on something and I have all the systems in place and all the marketers in place and all the right people in place to just sell a half-assed product successfully. And I'm not complaining about that. However, I think as a consumer, these companies should be held accountable when they sell a half-assed product, or they're shady with their dealings, or they're shady in the way that they get us to use the platform. And the only way that we hold them accountable for that is by not purchasing, not using, not watching, not viewing, unless it is something that we get value from, that we like. But back to the thread that I was on, when I am in those moments where I do realize I'm wasting my time, where this isn't exactly what I want to be doing, first I think the question should be, what should I be doing? So have I done my workout? Have I meditated? Have I read? Have I cooked? You know, have I eaten something healthy? Have I taken the time to spend time with my wife and connect with her? Have I taken the time to play with my kid? Have I taken the time to play with the dogs? Have I taken the time to take care of my home? Have I tidied up? Have I cleaned? What chores need to be done? What's the thing in the back of my head that I know needs to be done but is not done yet? And then doing that. That's where I typically start. And I think if I'm honest with myself, that list of should never really ends. That list of this is what I should do never exactly ends. There's an unlimited amount of boxes to check. For instance, our yard is pretty overgrown right now, but we don't have a weed eater or a lawnmower because we've been putting money towards other things. And part of me is frustrated about that because I think, well, I'd clean this up if I had the tools. Well, then I have to think, well, what did I choose to do with that money instead? And thankfully, I can be content with those decisions. But at the same time, I'm not content because I'm thinking, well, this is something that needs to be done. So the money needs to be here to be able to tackle this. And this is something very small that I've just kind of put off. And in my head, I think, okay, well, I'll work more on the business, we'll make more money, and then we'll have a surplus, and then I can get these tools, and I can clean up and do the landscaping myself. But that happens quite a bit. You know, okay, this needs to be done, but maybe if I had some more money, or maybe if I had some more time, because it's not just the money, it's not just the yard tools or something that needs to be done with the house, or, you know, an emergency thing that comes up that money needs to be spent on. You know, we can make excuses about the money all day, and I think where we spend money is typically what is subconsciously or consciously important to us. So this month, my wife and I do our budget probably once or twice a month, and we decide, okay, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. We're going to put a little bit of money towards debt. We're going to put a little bit of money towards investment. We're going to put a little bit of money towards ourselves and get some things that we want. And I think in this month's budget, I'm going to use it to get a lawnmower and a weed eater. I think that's what I'll do. But it's not just money, it's time. Where are we putting our time? We can make excuses about the money. We can make excuses about the time, but at the end of the day, we just have to be very blunt and honest with ourselves. Where is the money going? Where is the time going? For the last couple of, well, for the last, since we've moved in here, it's been about 15 months. That's about how old our kid is. He was born a month after we moved here. So it's really been maybe about 16 months that we've been here. And since then, our parents live pretty close. So we just go over to the grandparents' house and borrow their yard tools. And that's usually how I get the lawn done. And I've been doing that. And not that that hasn't been, you know, working. It's not like they mind. But I'm starting to mind, because when I want to get it done, I just want to go in the garage and get it done. But my point, where I'm going with this, is this always leads me back to making more money. What should I do? Well, I should clean up the yard. Why am I not cleaning up the yard? Because we don't have the tools. Okay, well, you have two options. You can either go buy the tools, or you can borrow the tools. I've been borrowing the tools so that I can use the money that I would have used to buy the tools to do other things around the house, other projects, other things that need to get done. For context, we got this house, like I said, 16 months ago, and there's been a good large list of projects that have needed to be done. And I think the landscaping is important. I think it's something that definitely adds to quality of life. You know, just being able to look in the backyard and be, you know, proud that it looks nice. But it hasn't been important, like things like the bathroom, organizing the garage, getting the home decor all squared away. My wife is currently on kind of like a home improvement binge, where she's been decorating and redecorating and renovating, really. I think she's working on the second bathroom now. She was working on our bathroom. Now she's working on our second bathroom. And I gotta say, it looks a lot better. But while she's been doing that, you know, it takes money to do that. And to do that, we've had to sacrifice money going to something like the lawn, or money going to something else, to be able to do that. And we've also had to sacrifice time, spending more time on the business and saying, okay, well, maybe we could get a little bit more done if we made a little bit more. So that's where the lawn leads me back to, or this huge list of home improvement shit that we gotta address. It leads me back to, well, this is a problem that money can solve. You know, we can get the tools, we can get the materials, we can hire people to get these things done. But to do that, it's going to take time. I'm going to have to figure out problems that I've been facing in the business so that I can unlock more earning potential. But unlocking more earning potential with the parameter of still doing something that I am content with, and that is not sacrificing the core of who I am, which has been a very, very long process. It kind of goes back to that cycle of failure and success. Why did these things fail? They might have been very sound business ideas. They might have worked. I might have had the opportunity to do them, but somewhere along the way, it didn't align with who I am. And if something doesn't align with who you are, it's not something that you're going to be able to take to the highest level that you possibly can, because that's not who you are. And it's not something that you're going to be content with long term. And that's really what I'm looking for. And that kind of touches back in with that dialogue that you have with yourself, always asking yourself, is this right? Am I doing this for the right reasons? Where do I think this will lead me? We've had business ideas that were going to probably require too much time, so I wasn't going to be able to spend time with my wife or my kid, or spend time taking care of the home or doing these projects. You know, things where I'd have the money, but I wouldn't even have the time to clean up the yard. And that's something that's also very important to me, having lots and lots of free time. So if I want to use it working, I can, but if I don't, I don't. And that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to build this platform. The approach that I take to content creation is always, how can I spend less time creating content and actually living my life? Because I believe the value in the content, not just for me, but for all content creators, isn't in the content creation process. It's in the life that you live. It's your philosophy. It's your lifestyle. It's how you think and how you feel, and then how you express that through your content. So my content is very simple. It's very direct. There's minimal editing. It just is what it is. I don't spend too much time after it's recorded making it. So after the handful of social media posts we make, after the podcast, after the YouTube, you know, that's maybe 2 to 3 hours of recording. Okay, I'll say 4 to 5 hours a week recording and editing and posting content. It's 5 hours a week. That's not bad. But the rest of that time is spent doing things like spending time with my wife, spending time with my kid, reading, writing, relaxing sometimes, working out, improving the home. It's not spent fucking off. It's spent getting better at who I am. And for me, it's always asking myself how the pieces fit and what picture I'm trying to paint, how I'm really trying to live, and not sacrificing as little of that as I possibly can. Now, I'll sacrifice other things. I do end up sacrificing quite a bit of time working in general. That, you know, content creation being 5 hours doesn't mean I just work 5 hours a week. That just means there's only 5 hours of content creation. But I think of my work as actually, I guess, researching, learning. Right now I'm working with a nonprofit, and our goal is to reduce risky and violent behaviors in public housing sites in San Francisco and Oakland. That is a challenge. We're trying to do that through content creation, through media. And I've taken on, one, well, making content for them, but also strategizing, how we handle the actual problem. What are we trying to do, and how are we going to do that? And it's been a hell of a task, and it takes up a lot of time, because I have to go to a lot of meetings, and I have to talk to people, and I have to take the time aside to create a separate set of content than the content that I make here. And I have to think a bit more in depth, and I have to think a bit more, I have to be a bit more professional than I might otherwise be. And, you know, that's not exactly true, because more or less I'm, you know, I let loose with my wife and my kid, but generally I'm pretty serious. So I actually don't really change who I am much for the job. It's just, I do change what I do, and the hours that I put into that have ended up being a lot more than the hours that I put into my actual content. And I think, one, that's because I'm able to. And there was a period of time where I'd spend every day, pretty much all day, coming up with the content and what I wanted to do and how I was going to do it, which led me to where I am now, where I don't have to, there's not much to do, just a lot to think about. And I like that ability. There's not much to do, but there's a lot of things that could be done, and then I just sort out the things that should be done and that shouldn't be done. So that allowed me to take on this extra time allotment to take on the problems of others. And it's strange, because it's not really the problems of others. It ends up really being just a problem. Maybe not for the actual people that we're trying to serve, but for the people that want the problem solved. There are people who think there's a problem, and there are people that are quote-unquote causing the problem, and we're supposed to solve that problem so that the people that think it's a problem don't have to spend money solving that problem. That's really how it ends up playing out, and we might talk about that later, but I guess what I'm getting at is I've been able to use this this challenge, this extra time, since I've been able to consolidate the time that I take for my own content creation, my own business. I've been able to expand my consciousness just a little bit into what other people are dealing with, you know, how other organizations are operating. And I've been able to take my skills as a content creator and the skills that it took me, that I'm still developing, to create a platform for myself and help build platforms for others or other people's organizations. And that's, you know, that kind of ties into the business idea that my wife and I had. But, and that kind of ties back into failing. So there's not every aspect of this new job or this new challenge are things that I actually want to do. But I am learning quite a bit. And I think as long as you're learning and I'm able to take that information and then apply it to how I want to move forward, I think that's valuable. And I might not do this forever. I don't think every decision that we make is set in stone. Now, some are, like my marriage, set in stone. Being a parent, set in stone, but my business life, my work life is very flexible as long as I'm within a couple of parameters. And I want to test those parameters. And I would encourage others who are finding out what they want to do and finding out how to make a living doing what they love to explore a little bit and get out of their comfort zone and take on challenges and take on things that you might not necessarily want to do, because once you do them, you figure out why you don't want to do them. You pinpoint exactly where the idea failed or the thought failed or where you lost a little bit of yourself. It's kind of like you touch the hot stove. You know, you burn yourself a little bit. You overwork yourself a little bit. You burn out. And you get to see, okay, where did I burn out? Where was I not performing at my best? Why was I not performing at my best? Why do I not want to do this anymore? What do I like about this? What are the good aspects of this? What is positive here? And you take all the positive and you add that to the next idea, and you take all the negative and you say, these are things that I'm going to watch out for. Personally, in this new job, and which is probably the thing that I don't like the most, it's a job. I don't think after this I will be working another job. I'd rather do contract work because I don't like to be managed. I believe that I am able to manage myself, and I believe that I use my time very wisely and productively and constructively, and I try to do that. So I'm a person that doesn't exactly need a manager. Now, the job itself, you know, there are things that need to be done, and there are ways that they need to be done, and I understand that. I need to be told what to do sometimes because it's not my organization. That's another thing. I would like to set the agenda for myself, which is why I'm building my own platform. Now, I actually believe in the mission to an extent. To an extent, because it's not the way that I would do it, but the way I would do it is not doing it, because it's not something that I would even have the scope and understanding to be able to take on myself or to go do. And that's part of the reason why I'm benefiting from it, because it's not something that I would up and do by myself unless the opportunity was presented to me, which it was, so I took the opportunity. Now, another thing that I don't exactly like is meetings. Meetings and meetings and meetings. Now, I don't mind talking to people, but at a point, I think, and it's not exactly the meetings, it is that the meeting is at a certain time each week and that they fill up my week. Ideally, now we can set up meetings, we can, you know, we can schedule things, but I'm not the type of, my personality doesn't work with, you know, from this block of time, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, this is what's happening. Because I need a little bit more room. And I need days where I'm not talking to people so that I can act, so that I can do work. I'm not an extrovert. And I'm telling you this as an example of, a personal example of, you know, something that I'm trying out. Some places that it's not working that well for me, and places that it is working well for me. The things that I'm learning, because, well, one, that's important to me. I need to have that inside of myself. Okay, where is it not working? Where is it working? And hopefully to inspire you to ask yourself, whether it's a job or a relationship or a business that you're starting, now what is working here and what's not working here? And just being able to go through the process of, okay, this is something, this is something, this is something, and dive into it and say, okay, well, I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to accomplish the goal. I'm going to learn as much as I can. And after this is done, and even after this is done, you know, it doesn't have to be over, but it needs to be a different version. So I'm not just speaking about the job now. I'm speaking about life. You know, after this period of my life is done, which I will be fully present for, you know, with the addition of some reflecting and some planning, after this is done, I'm going to take all of it, the good and the bad, and implement it into the next phase of my life, so the next phase is a little better. This job is probably 100 times better than the last job I had, and it's still not perfect. And the next job I have, or the next business idea, or whatever it is not going to be perfect. The next phase that my child is not going to be perfect. The next stage of life that my wife and I are in is not going to be perfect. The next version of myself is not going to be perfect, and that's okay. That's part of the fun. That's part of why we're doing it, because if we came into the world, or we started our business, or we got into a relationship and it was already perfect, it takes out the effort, which ends up taking out the meaning and the purpose and the reward. It's kind of like getting cheat codes to a game. They might be fun for a while, but if you didn't have to work or, you know, earn the skills that it would take for you to complete the game, I don't think you really ever fully appreciate the game. And you can look at life like a game, and you're going to have to learn skills. You're going to have to fail so that you can succeed and get through it and get to the end, and not just get to the end, because one way or another, we all get to the end of life, but not all of us are content when it's done. And the only way that I know to be content, or the only way I know how to be content when it's all said and done, is by trying to be content now. Because if I'm not content now, I can't see a strong reason why I would be content when I'm dead or when I'm about to die. Now, not every moment I'm content, but I would say the majority of the time I'm content. I'm doing something that challenges me. I spend time with people that I love. I can see myself progressing. what more is there to ask for? And if I can say the same thing, hopefully when I'm old, 80, 90, 100, I think that would be a life well lived. And why not go for that? If you're not going to go for that, then what is there to go for? You have to find something. You have to do something. And you have to keep going. Not every step of the journey is going to be great. There will be periods of time where you're not content, or you get depressed, or you get anxious. I think, ironically, right now, it's probably one of the times I have been the most anxious in my life, and yet the most content with my life. Because I know the anxiety that I'm feeling is for a reason. My wife and I are about to bring another life into the world, which is going to mean a lot of chaos for us and sleepless nights. Not exactly what that's going to mean for the business or the time that I'm going to be able to put into it, which is why I want to really consolidate where my time and energy is spent when I'm working. Which is why I'm trying to challenge myself and explore new avenues of work so that I can have a better idea of what I really want to do. Because I know what I want to do is be a husband. I know I want to be a parent. I know I want to be able to take care of this yard. And I know to be able to do that, I'm going to need time. I know I want to work. And I know all those pieces have to fit together and that there's going to have to be some harmony. And to achieve that harmony, there's going to have to be some discord, some chaos. There's going to have to be some growing pains. And I'm content with that. So even when I'm unhappy or I'm struggling or I'm anxious or even having a little bit of a panic attack, that's always in the back of my head. There's an underlying feeling of contentment. And I think if I get good at that, I think this is kind of the Buddhist way of thinking or the Taoist way of thinking. From that comes something more than contentment, joy. But it's not that joy that we're talking about, that we were talking about in the beginning, that joy that's just bursting through the sunshine. It's a calmness. It's a peaceful underlying joy for the life that you're living. And I think that's something willing to. I think that is something I'm willing to work towards. And I think that's something we're all willing to work towards. We just don't always know. We're not born knowing. We're not born with a map or an instruction manual on how to get there. And some of us get lost along the way. And I was there for a while. A bit too long. Well, I guess it's never really too long. But I suppose that's part of it as well. You got to get lost. You have to be lost if you want to find yourself. You know, the fact that there is a path means that there's a whole bunch of shit out there that's not the path. It's like, if there's a path, you know, there's also a forest. And if you're somewhere in that forest, it might be hard to get back to the path. Or sometimes you have to create that path. Continue creating your path. Don't get discouraged when you hit a roadblock or a challenge. Welcome it. Because that same challenge is going to be the thing that's going to keep you on the path. It's going to make that path a bit clearer. Keep the dialogue open. Keep that conversation with yourself going. But also don't make it all about you. It's not just a conversation between you and you. It's a conversation between you and the universe. And in that way, I suppose the path, that is the path, that conversation that you're having with the universe, the role that you're here to play, the life that you're here to live. And know that not everybody finds that. And if you want to find it, you have to be willing to find it. Willing to do what it takes, willing to sacrifice, willing to get over the fear, willing to meet those challenges, willing to grow, willing to fail. And I suppose at the end of the day, that isn't what you want to do. It's just what you're doing. It is what you want to do, but it's also just what you're doing. You're doing what you want to do, not to find the path, not to have that conversation with the universe, not to find yourself, but just the process of doing it and just getting up every day and having a love and a drive to continue doing it. And if you have that drive and you have that love, then you'll wake up every day and you'll do it. And when you don't have that drive and you don't have that love, I suppose, you know, dangling a carrot in front of yourself, dangling a reward, and coming up with some fake things that you want, some material things, some idea of what you do want, can sometimes be the thing that does eventually just get you on the path to just wanting to do what you're doing and just doing it, because, you know, what else is there to do? Sometimes you need that exterior motivation. It's kind of funny that way a little bit. Whatever we choose to do just ends up being a medium to express our humanness. So, in some ways, it's really not even about what we're doing. It's just about being and what we're becoming. I think you know, it's kind of like you say a word over and over again, it starts to sound weird. I think the more you try to explain it, the further away you get from it. And sometimes an idea or a feeling just pops up and, you know, that's just what you go after. That's what you hold on to. All right. Well, I'm starting to confuse myself. So thank y'all for tuning in. We'll catch y'all on the next one.